Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn. For the feeling I earn, I'ma win, it's a turn. The other cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russ and Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I also have a trading problem.
I am Jay Felicio, and I have a belly button.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to session 371 of the Trade Addicts Podcast. And I'm going to pretend like that was something completely normal to say and just keep going because we are here. And it is, I mean, I know not everyone cares, but it's Scott Fishbowl season. The first live drafts are this weekend. Like, it is. As I, at least I'm rocking my SFB shirt, my Baymax shirt. I love the shirt so much.
That is awesome.
That's a good podcasting, right? Me holding my shirt up for everyone to
Everyone listening at home loves that.
Yeah. But hey, how's it going?
Close your eyes and imagine the picture.
Yes, it's Baymax, but instead of just the circles for eyes, they're fish. Okay, I'm not going to actually sit here describing my entire shirt to everybody, but just it's genius. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. It's great. Oh. Well, before we get going into whatever this show is going to end up being, because who knows if any of us know what we're doing at this point, Jay, why don't you remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
Some news broke here recently. Jay Felicio, you can find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at GmanJay. I was just announced 2 days ago, I think. I am the lead analyst for QB List. I'm very excited about that for this upcoming season and hopefully many more seasons after that as well. And I don't know exactly what yet, but I should also still be contributing over at The Athletic as well.
That sounds so cool just to be able to say stuff like that. Like,
yeah,
I don't know, man. We missed out, Rock, doing this on our own. We should have sold out years ago.
We're the lead analysts of the Trade Addicts, but
yeah, that's good. That sounds good. I like that.
I love the sound of that.
All right, so let's get into the news and notes. Not a ton of news, so we can get Russ and Jay's perspective on Rodgers/Chubb. I guess Rocky doesn't matter here.
Well, I talked about it
want your take, Rocky.
They've already gotten my take.
As an FYI, there are videos of Chubb at camp. He seems healthy, as the team said, and he passed his physical. All right, so let's start with why are Rodgers and Chubb in like a slash next to each other? They have nothing to do with each other.
I think because both just happened last week.
Officially. All right, so Jay, and I use this word in the loosest sense of this word. Are you excited for Aaron Rodgers in Pittsburgh?
No, not at all. I mean, I would want him nothing more than a super. I do think I'll wind up with some shares of him just because I think everybody is so tired of Aaron Rodgers that nobody's going to want to draft him even super flex formats. I think he'll be a fine super flex backup. And he'll have, you know, he's still got a little talent. If he's on the field, he'll have a couple of big weeks, especially with a guy like DK Metcalf. But I'm really not interested unless I can get him for bottom of the barrel pricing. And that's pretty much it. I mean, maybe a bye week fill in one QB, but in super flex, I don't want to start him.
I've seen him go for 2/3 in super flex leagues.
So all right, I would pay 2/3 for Aaron Rodgers.
I would take 2/3 in a heartbeat.
I would
take a half-eaten ham sandwich, to be honest with you.
It would have to be ham and cheese. I need the cheese. That's very, very important.
What kind of cheese?
I mean, if it's Aaron Rodgers, I'll settle for American. I don't need anything fancy if we're talking Aaron Rodgers. The higher up we go, you know, it might need to be some provolone. It might need to be some cheddar jack. I mean, it depends.
Culture it depends where we're good going. Stuff too.
Do you think – I'm going to stop talking food because otherwise I won't stop talking food. Do you think Aaron Rodgers has the ability to make DK Metcalf – I mean, usable, of course. I think he'll be usable. But do you think – like, DK could be a top 15 wide receiver on a good year. Like, do you think Rodgers has the ability to put him up there?
Yeah, I do, just because we've seen it before with Aaron Rodgers that once he finds his favorite guy, he will hyper-target them. So – you know, I've been a big fan of DK Metcalf since day one. I was really in on him last year, and I hate that he got banged up because he started the season off great. But yeah, if Rodgers stays healthy, I definitely see it. You know, I think it would be more of in PPR formats, because I don't think this offense is going to be that explosive. But if we've seen DK Metcalf can have the big plays and, you know, get peppered with those targets, I mean, I could definitely see him finishing. I think he's going to be undervalued going into this season.
In Trade Addicts 9, we have someone going for the J-Mike Invitational in 27 already. And I was offered DK Metcalf for my 27 first and something small. I don't even remember what it is anymore. And I rejected it because first of all, don't feel as if Aaron Rodgers is going to be playing multiple years in the first place. So I'm just going to be worried about his quarterback situation again. So I was like, I couldn't go in on DK Metcalf, especially knowing what this guy's trying to do. Like, if this guy wants to pull off getting the entire first round, and I know he's doing that already because he's probably got about five or six of the firsts in 27, he's going to have to pay a little bit extra for that.
Absolutely.
I know you got Jalen Waddle for yours.
Yeah.
Because he sent me the same thing and I was thinking about it. And then all of a sudden yours got accepted. I'm like, well, I that's my fault. I thought about that for too long.
Yeah, I'm the biggest Jalen Waddle stand there is. So 27 was a no brainer for me. So.
Yeah. And it's like, it's true. The funny thing was, like, I want to hold on to that 27 first just because I know what that class is shaping up to be. But it's Jalen Waddle. Nope, doesn't matter. Too late.
I actually traded for Jalen Waddle in one of my dynasty leagues as well. It was right before Tua came back. And actually, let me get your guys' take on this. It was a 26 first, a 27 first, and I think like a pick swap or something like that. Something kind of throwing at the end, but for Tua and Jalen Waddle in a super flex league.
Oh, that's a win for you.
I was like,
for them too.
It was one of those that I was like, am I missing something? Like, what's going on here?
Both are underrated. Like,
they're two people that people are low on. Two players that people are low on. Tua, I get that Tua doesn't have a ceiling. He really, really doesn't. But he's an insanely solid QB2. And Waddle, we've seen, even at the end of last year, he started to pick back up again. Like, he just was not healthy this year. And the year before was, get Tyreek the record. And they just sort of left Waddle out of it every once in a while. And I'm in on Waddle. I still love him as a player. I acquired him once or twice in the past few weeks also. Don't exactly remember what I did, but yeah, I'm a fan of that. What's next on the list? Brandon Ayuk looks like he will start the season on the PUP, but he's been showing up for camp, which is good for the relationship between him and the team. Any thoughts on Brandon Ayuk? Yeah.
I think he's going to be somebody that's undervalued going into the season as well. I think people are, you know, so quick to forget when somebody's not the sexy name anymore, that this guy is possibly one of the 10 best wide receivers. I mean, arguably one of the best 10 wide receivers in the league on one of the most fantasy friendly offenses. Deebo Samuel's gone. Brock Purdy's going to be there long-term. I like Ayuk. I think I'm going to be looking to get some more shares of him if I can.
You think we have to pay a 26 first for Ayuk still?
Yeah, prop.
I think his managers are going to want that, yeah.
And I mean, clearly we're talking like, you know, equal value in player-wise and stuff like that. I'm just kind of, because now you're making me want to find my rebuild teams that are like, maybe this is the year, maybe it isn't, and then go put Ayuk on all of those teams. Because if he comes in week seven, and let's face it, they didn't do anything else at wide receiver in San Francisco. Like, they didn't do anything to make it seem like Ayuk's not going to come back and be the guy like he was.
Like, I like Ricky Pearsall, but I feel like he's getting way overrated.
He's fine.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's that. I'm not afraid of Ricky Pearsall for Brandon Ayuk. Let me put, I'll say those words out loud.
But Juwan Jennings.
He's fine. Again,
he's fine. I'm kidding.
Do what you need him to do. But
yeah,
sometimes you need him just to be on the bench and be a good wide receiver two or three. And he does that too.
I mean, where would you, what caliber of player would you have to add to a second to upgrade to Ayuk? So like a 26 second plus two.
That's, I don't know. I can't think of anyone good off the top of my head as I'm sitting here trying
to. What about to Jordan Addison in a second for Ayuk? Who would you rather have?
If you were to tell me
that's
that
kind of Ayuk line was right there.
If you were to, like, close. That's really, really close.
You know, it's interesting. When he asked that question, I started looking at the DLF ADP. And
I was stalling.
Wide receiver 35. I'm surprised he's that low. He's wide receiver 35.
What was it?
Ayuk is wide receiver 35 and 80.
So I will take.
If that's where he's going, I love him in startups.
Sorry, I'm pulling up the values in the trade analyzer so
I
we
take
can
him in the 20s. Easy.
Yeah, Addison's higher than him. Jameson Williams is higher than him. I think I'd rather have Ayuk.
Yeah, I would too.
Pickens is higher than him.
Wow.
I get well in Superflex. Well, in trade value in the Superflex, Addison is just below Ayuk.
Okay. Yeah, well, yeah, ADP obviously doesn't always equal trade value. So
yeah.
I'm just looking at the ADP.
Yeah, that's why I pulled up trade value, because we're talking trades, Rocky. We're not talking ADP. Oh, it's been so long since I gave you a hard time for absolutely nothing. That felt great. I love it. I wouldn't do Xavier Worthy in a second, just because I'm a Xavier Worthy fan, and we'll talk about Mahomes a little bit later if we have time. I think I put that trade on here. I did an outhouse challenge, Jay. I don't know if you saw Twitter blowing up. And a couple actually went through, like more than normal went through.
Yeah.
But I kept a few that didn't go through because they were very interesting things I wanted to talk about. But that's, again, also only if we have time. So let's just keep moving on for now. Cam Akers to the Saints, backfield gets more crowded. I'm not worried about Cam Akers whatsoever.
I was a big Cam Akers fan, but I think he is what he is at this point. He's just he'll have that one week where he goes off, where he gets the touches, and you'll throw him in your lineup, and he'll get like a carry.
Yep.
I only care because I have so many Devin Neal shares.
Yeah. Well, Neal was always more of a next year thing start saying, all right, well, Kamara's 32. Well, okay, well, Kamara's 33. Okay, well, Kamara's 34.
I've done that with Derrick Henry. I've been on I'm the type that I try to get out a year early versus a year late. And yeah, that's burned me for like 6 years running with Derrick Henry now.
So. Oh, Derrick Henry is retire on your roster material at this point.
100%.
Which someone offered me Derrick Henry for my 27 first in the outhouse challenge, and the first one handedly. 27 first. It was like 75-25.
Yeah, easily.
I wonder, that would be very different in season, I believe.
Yeah.
Right now, in June. Yeah. All right, so let's move on. So now is the time where I let the guest make a decision for me, because I hate making decisions. Do you want to do Trade Addicts trades or listener questions first?
Let's go with listener questions.
Coolio. Then I have to scroll down. Scroll. Here we go. Frank
is part of the reason that I did it, because I was already scrolling and that's where I was. So.
Hey, from this guy named Frank in the chat. Thought I'd throw in a question for old time's sake. How far down the QB rankings can you go before you start being uncomfortable as a contender? For instance, if I have blank as my QB2 or Superflex, am I comfortable? And Chicago dog rules them all. Because Frank made the question and asked about hot dogs, but we'll get to that later. How comfortable do you need to be with your second QB in your Superflex? We'll just talk Superflex, because QB2 is so different. Like, needing that second quarterback makes it so, so different. Like, honestly, I'm fine with not playing a quarterback in my super flex spot if I don't have to.
I can't do it. I get it. It depends. It depends on the roster, but
absolutely,
I much prefer.
I can do it, but I mostly only do it if people are trying to hold me up because they think I have to have a second quarterback.
Yep.
I will not overpay for a second quarterback.
Yep, absolutely. This is a little off topic, but we had a guy in my longtime home league quit because it was 2QB. We switched to Superflex now, but it was one of those years where his second quarterback and third quarterback got hurt. And so he had nobody, and the guy he was playing that week to get in the playoffs just churned through. It was fab. So he outbid him by a dollar.
Yep.
Like 3-4 days in a row. And like, they were like, you can't do that. Like, no, like it's fair. It's the rules. Like, sorry. Like, that's just how it is. And I think that was the last year that we had 2QB.
That reminds me of last year in a super flex. Like, I only had two though, and they were Hurts and Kirk Cousins. And with a league that had a trading deadline before the playoffs, if you remember, Hurts got banged up, Cousins got benched. I made the title game and had no quarterback. And I, of course, lost then.
There's a fine line between it's within the rules, but it's kind of a dick move.
Yep. Oh, it's definitely a dick move, but all's fair in love and war.
Oh, yeah. All right. So to get back to Frank's question, QB18 is Jared Goff. After him comes Cam Ward, J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix, Bryce Young, Tua, Jackson Dart, Anthony Richardson, Justin Fields. See, here's the thing. This is a little tough because, like, I'm fine with Justin Fields, who's QB 26 as my QB2, Geno Smith, 27, Matt Stafford, 28, Russell Wilson, 31.
In terms of my actual QB2, when we're in season, I like Matthew Stafford more than a bunch of those guys that are ahead.
I was about to say the same thing, Rocky.
Yeah, because then we get into dynasty value versus fantasy value, and it's all completely different. But like, I don't think there's a level where I really like. Again, it's tough to use dynasty ADP for this kind of question because, like Rocky just said, it doesn't necessarily always fit. But man,
it really depends. Oh, go ahead, Rocky. Russ.
Sorry, if you can tell me. My QB2 is getting me 13, 14 points per game. I love it. I want more, clearly. But, like, that's a floor you're not going to get out of your 11th best wide receiver or running back, chances are. Which is why putting a QB2 in your super flex is usually the way to go. Because their floor is just so much higher than everyone else's. Of course, I've won championships and rosters with only one quarterback, but I've also gotten destroyed when I've had two of the top quarterbacks. There's nothing that works every single time.
No.
So go ahead.
There's no secret formula. Yeah, I was just basically going to say the level that I'm willing to go with my QB2 is based on the type of QB1 I have. If it's like a consistent guy like a Josh Allen, Jaden Daniels, Lamar Jackson, okay, then I'll take a shot with a – if I have to with a J.J. McCarthy or a Penix or Jackson Dart, or if I've got those like more middling guys like a Trevor Lawrence, who I am high on this year, but
yes.
The Dax, if those guys are my QB1, I'm not too comfortable rolling with a lot of those names as my QB2 and might look elsewhere.
Yeah.
And we know me. I'm fine with almost anybody that I'm pretty sure is going to start the year and score points that I didn't have to pay a ton for. So, yeah, that's Stafford range, Tua. I mean, I'd rather have like Tua, Stafford, even Geno probably more than some of these other younger guys in terms of fantasy value in season.
How I feel about Geno this year.
I'm not a big Geno guy, but I feel he's going to start the whole year. And
yes,
you get that floor that Russ was talking about, I think.
And he seems very safe because he could just unload to Brock Bowers over and over and over and over again.
Yeah, he's got that at least 13, 14 point floor.
Yeah. All right, next. Dynastud in the questions at FT Ball Dynastud. Who are some end-of-the-bench guys for other teams who you're interested in acquiring as a throw-in for a late pick or even for some fab? We need to hear all the Efton Chisholm talk, all of it. Okay. First question. What is an Efton Chisholm?
I believe it's an old wooden ship that was used in the Civil War era.
I think you're right.
German for a whales. Never mind. all right. So honestly, I don't really mess around with end of roster guys. Like, I don't really think I have anyone.
Damn it, Russ, you stole my answer.
Like, there's no, okay, let me reword this. There's no one I'm going out and acquiring from other teams, but like, if we're talking fourth rounds of rookie drafts or fab pickup after the drafts ended, I loved picking up Ollie Gordon at the end of drafts because maybe Jalen Wright's not that guy. We don't really know. In which case, Ollie Gordon's a very big dude, so he could be the thumper to Achane's Lightning. Like, that seems very obvious to me. Like, that's an easy way to the ball. But I don't really have anyone. Okay, by the way, Efton Chisholm is a Patriots slot receiver.
Right, yeah.
Just because I actually knew the answer, I was just being a jerk about it before. But also have been reading puff pieces about how Pop Douglas has been doing really well.
I've heard a lot of that as well.
So, sorry.
It's funny you said that. Jalen Wright was probably the guy that I was going to say. I wouldn't necessarily call him an end-of-bench guy, but like those running backs that were all hyped up last year that wound up, you know, just not getting the opportunity that people just seem to forget about. Trey Benson, Jalen Wright, even Blake Corum, like, you can get those guys for pretty cheap, and it's worth the, you know, the stash film on your bench, maybe your taxi squad, and who knows? You know, I'm very high on Trey Benson this year. I love James Conner, but I think, you know, he's getting up there in age as well and hasn't necessarily been the healthiest over his career to be able to stay on the field. I think it's worth a shot.
Yeah, like Russ said, I don't really do. Even in season, I barely do waivers. I probably do them like twice a year in all my leagues. So, but in terms of like late round pick guys, I was just trying to look at like some of the like Trade Addicts drafts and who I was generally drafting there. Like in the fourth round, two guys that stick out to me that I was drafting a lot in the fourth are Dylan Gabriel, just because he's a quarterback and who knows, he was drafted on day two. And Savion Williams, again, because of draft capital. That's basically the only reason. I mean, and you could get him. Like, I was just looking in the one draft I was looking in, I got him at 412. So why not?
Yeah, why not?
Day two wide receiver.
Eric Arroyo is another one, too, that I was able to either get late or pick up off waivers that I think could be worth a little something.
Oh, so I just realized the next, like, six questions are from Dynastud. when is Frank doing an outhouse challenge now that Dynasty Outhouse is doing one without even being on? Well, I am on the show. and accepting non-Trade Addicts League trades for the So yesterday I accepted a trade and I'm like, for the content, let's do it. Wait, crap, that wasn't a Trade Addicts League. I got T. Higgins, it's fine.
Then it's worth it.
Oh, it was always worth it. But we'll get it. If you don't know, we'll get into what an outhouse challenge is later when we get to the trades, because that's what we'll talk about them. Frank actually answered and said, I will think about doing an outhouse challenge before the season, maybe go live and have a chat aspect. Ooh, that's fun.
That would be
fun. I never found a good way to do that because you need an audience. And we have one. Hey, Herms, how's it going, man? Next question, still Dynastud. Assuming that G-Men in G-Men J is for my New York football Giants, how spooked are you about Pro Football Doc's concerns about Malik Nabers' toe? If Nabers is hampered or misses significant time, which other Giants pass game weapons are you buying? Someone has to catch the ball, right? No.
I'm actually not a Giants fan. It's I'm a government plant. That's what the G-Men stands for. But yeah, like I liked it, your hesitation when you said other Giants weapons, because that's exactly my thoughts as well, because that doesn't exist. I'm not concerned about Nabers. If anybody is, especially at this point in the season, excuse me, it's not even the season. It's barely the off season. It's barely the preseason. So I'm not worried about it. I think they're just being smart with their one and only actual weapon. For PPR leagues, I do like Wandale Robinson. He's not somebody I want to rely on, but I think he's a solid flex play. And, you know, once we do still have, what, I think two Bimageddons this year. I think he could have some, especially with, you know, a guy like Russell Wilson. I could see him, you know, having a connection with Wandale Robinson. And, you know.
Like, you know, when.
He's a Wesley Webbit.
You know, when the camp puff pieces are trying to puff up Jalen Hyatt, you know something's not good. But yeah, I'm with Jay. I think Neighbors will be fine. Now is when you let him sit and do nothing, because he'll play through the pain later if there is pain.
Giants' other pass game weapons is an oxymoron.
Yes, exactly. That does not compute. At the beginning of rookie draft season, my guy Jackson Dart was a late first, early second in Superflex leagues. Later in the offseason, he gained momentum and rose near mid-round one. So at what point do you cash out on off-season market value fluctuations? I'll go first on this one, because the truth is you don't get out on someone like Jackson Dart until he hits the field. Like, that's the point. Like, that this is like selling Michael Penix at some point for before he went on the field. It just didn't really make sense. Unless you have a way of, like you drafted him at the 112 because you won your league, and then you trade for someone else's first who didn't make the playoffs, so you know it's not going to be the 112. Like, if you can almost guarantee it's not the 112, sure, you're making profit, but I don't know. It doesn't seem like that worth of a reroll to me in a class that we're also talking like isn't going to be as strong as we wanted anyway. Of course, it's super early, and who the heck knows at this point. But we're still talking like 26 not going to be all that great, which is why people are going after 27 picks already. I don't think you cash out. I think you cash out, which I will say I do not believe will be this season. I hope it's not this season. But I think you cash out on Jackson Dart when he touches the field.
Yeah, I think you get a bigger bump then, especially if he comes in and has a good game or two. Like, it's only going to take like 2 to 3 good-looking games and on the field, and his value will go significantly up. But I'm curious, Jay, what do you think as a Giants fan? What do you think of Dart from
as a government plan?
I mean, as a government plan, what do you think?
I have mixed feelings on draft day. I actually wanted the Giants to draft Shador, but we're here or there. But the more I look into it, it makes sense for a coach like Dable, and I'm fine with it. I would have honestly been just as, especially with signing Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston, waiting another year and waiting for the quarterbacks next year and maybe making the move for Arch Manning. But I think this was the Dable Shane last-ditch effort to, you know, find their guy. And I'm cautiously optimistic. I don't think he's going to be another Daniel Jones, but I also, you know, I'm not holding my breath for him to be a generational talent or anything like that. I think he will fit well into a Dable system, so I'm excited about that.
All right, next question. How much do you make sure to get your, quote, my guys in the rookie drafts? Mine was Egbuka, yet somehow I left all 5 of my drafts without him. It just never worked out despite my best efforts. Also, please tell me you think Egbuka is bad to console me. Okay, thanks, bye.
Egbuka is bad. No, he's not bad. He's good. But no, I think you played it the right way. I love RJ Harvey. I wanted him in a lot of places, and I did not get a single share of him. It's just because the hype train was already there, and the helium bumped his ADP up to mid first round, and that was just not a price that I was willing to pay. So I think you made the right move. You know, it depends if, you know, it's super flex and you need a quarterback and Dart's the last guy left. Okay, so, you know, maybe you trade up and throw a second or something like that. But I'm not one to overpay for my guys, because it's all, you know, the whole point is we're all guessing, and we want to eliminate as much risk as possible. So while I have the guys that I love, I'm not going to overpay for them.
I was just going to say the same thing, and especially like people like me who are in like 30 leagues. I really don't care as much about getting my guys, because I'm going to get my guys in at least a couple leagues because of that in most cases. And what happens too is I don't go out of my way to get quote unquote my guys, but it's funny. We were just the Jackson Dart question. Jackson Dart actually kind of just ended up being one of my guys because I do think I like him more than most people from a fantasy perspective. And just looking at his tape, and I was drafting him in that 111 to 202 range every time I was there. And he just always seemed to be there for me. And I like him more than a lot of the other guys that were going in that range. So I have a bunch of Dart shares, even though I didn't go out of my way to get them. It's just there's certain guys that I end up drafting in certain spots almost all the time that really kind of end up being my guys.
Yeah, pretty much what they said. I mean, I'm a little more willing to pay, not too much overpay, but I'm willing to pay a little bit more to go. Like Jaden Higgins and Trey Harris were going like back to back in a lot of leagues, and I wanted both of them a lot. So I traded, you know, this might be my T. Higgins, Michael Pittman all over again, but not to that point, even though they have the same last name. And I didn't give up a first for him in any of the situations, though I was tempted once or twice. But I do think I overpaid once or twice just to get in, just because it makes me happy to get guys I like. But I've also left many drafts not being able to get guys that I've wanted, even whether it was just a quote-unquote my guy or if it was someone I thought would fit well for my team right there. And you figure it out later. That's what you always do. You trade later. That's just what you do. Next question. With all of the post-AR injury hype for Josh Downs, what would you move off of him for? Also, are you buying the Downs hype or not? I like Josh Downs. I think he does well regardless of who his quarterback is. And I don't think I'm super in on him. I'm not out on him. I'm not paying a first for him. If I can get him for a second, I would easily do that. But I don't know if there's... Is there external fluctuation on Josh Downs right now?
I don't know if there is, but I was just going to say the exception to whatever quarterback is kind of Anthony Richardson. Like, everybody was kind of bad last year with Anthony Richardson, including Josh Downs. I feel like the Flacco to Richardson splits, if you were to break them down, were quite significant.
Yeah, I think Downs is a guy, like, he's good. I think he is a little overhyped in the in our little bubble. I think a second is a perfect price for him, but if there's a lot of wide receivers I would prefer to have over him. I think he's just got a ceiling. I think he's a solid wide receiver too, but I don't see him going much higher than that. And I feel like there's people that are just hyping him up even more. Just take a look and see.
Yeah, that's tough too, because if you have a second, like, are you paying it for Josh Downs or are you paying it for like Devontae Adams on the Rams or something, if you're trying to contend?
Like, give me Adams all day long.
Yeah. It would be more of a situation where I think I might compete, but I still have a very young team.
Yeah.
Like a very, 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 very specific situation where I would go trade for Josh Downs right now. He would definitely be part of a bigger trade.
Yeah. I think the second value is weird, but it's just a weird situation and spot, like Russ was saying.
All right, so last question, and there's a whole preamble I'm just going to skip, and he asks, where do you put the over-under on Dart's game started in 2025? I said it before and I'll say it again. I really hope the answer is zero, unless we're talking like week 18 or whatever. That doesn't really count. But like, I hope zero meaningful games. That's my hope.
That's my hope as well, but I don't think that's going to be the case. I think he's going to start, I'd say, at least six games.
Ooh.
I think I hope I'm wrong, but I could see it being a situation where they genuinely would like him to sit the entire year, but I don't know if Jameis is going to be on the roster come week one, just because of as well as Dart's look, which I hope he is, because he's a guy that I want in the locker room. But I have a feeling that he's going to be moved. There were some rumors, possibly the Saints. So there's always somebody that's going to need a quarterback.
Yeah.
And at this point,
he was listed three on the depth chart, right? He was listed behind Dart, right?
Yeah. And Dart's looked good so far. Granted, it's it's still early and there's no tackling and, you know, all that fun stuff. But
yeah, it's nice to dream.
Yes, it's nice to not have Daniel Jones, which I do think Daniel Jones can be decent in Indianapolis with a solid offensive line, but I'm glad to be done with Daniel Jones.
Yes. It's better when he's someone else's problem.
Yes, exactly.
All right, let's get to the Trade Addicts trades. Trade Addicts leagues with 12 teams, Superflex, PPR, tight end premium with 1.75 points per tight end reception and 0.05 points per return yardage, except for TA1. And thanks to the Outhouse Challenge, we have a TA1 trade. So what the Outhouse Challenge is, I only did it on Discord. Usually I'll post in the league message board, but I wanted to see how many people pay attention to the league chats. So I only posted it in Discord, and I got a lot of offers. It made me, like, I even put in the Discord, like, this legitimately makes me happy how many offers I'm getting, because this shows people pay attention. So what it is I will tell people I'm doing this challenge. And what that means is send me an offer and I will post it as a poll on Twitter. And if the side you offered me wins the Twitter poll, I'll accept it. I will warn you, this will not make your team better. you don't do this to make your team better. You do this because you're bored and you have nothing better to do. Or you do this because there's only one trade so far on the show sheet and you're guest hosting and you want there to be more stuff to talk about.
Which was very effective in that instance.
Very effective. A lot of them went through. I don't can't remember the last time. Hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4 went through. I can't remember the last time 4 went through.
And only then like a 3-hour period too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I started at 1 o'clock and it only went till 4:30. So it was a very short period of time as well. So let's get to it. The first one is Juwan Jennings and Jameson Williams for a 26 first, third, and fourth. So first, Jay, tell me which side you prefer. And then tell me which side you think. Oh, you're looking at the show sheet, so you know which side.
Yes, I do know.
Yeah, I forgot that. I forgot the rest of the show sheet. So go ahead. What side do you prefer? Jameson Williams, Juwan Jennings for 26 first, third, and fourth.
I really like Jameson Williams, but I honestly think I like the pick side better. I'm not as high on Juwan Jennings as others. And, you know, Jameson Williams, while I believe in the talent, we don't know what that offense is going to look like with all the changes. I think there's much higher upside with whatever that 26 first could be. And, you know, the third, fourth are dart throws that, you know, sometimes they hit. So I feel like it's kind of the third and fourth for Jennings and the first for James.
Yeah, J-Mo, give me the first. Yeah, I'm with Jay. I think it's very fair value-wise. Exactly the way he broke it down. I don't think you can get much more than that for Juwan Jennings. And I think you do have to pay a first for Jameson Williams probably right now, at least a late first. I just personally don't want to, so I'll take the first. I like Jameson Williams okay, and he's definitely had his moments, and he was a lot better than I thought he would be last year. But I think something you kind of said in there is just the post Ben Johnson. I want to see what that offense is, and I don't feel as confident in really almost anybody.
So, out of 133 votes, 59% went towards Juwan Jennings and Jameson Williams, which won the trade. So I had to accept it. So I lost my first. I was not happy about that. JMO is okay. I don't feel great. Like, there's other things I would have rather have done with my first than go get Jameson Williams.
Exactly.
That's really what it comes down to. I was saving it for, like, because this is a league where I tried to spike contend last year and I just missed the playoffs. And I think I made my team better. I got RJ Harvey in the draft. So like, and I made a couple of moves where I think my team is better. So I thought I was going to be able to, you know, make that push and then use that first when I really needed it to really, and now I don't have that. So I'm a little upset by it, but I'll be okay. I'll be okay. That's a lot. I don't like any of these trades that went through. Let's move on to the next one. Trade Addicts 4. This is Bo Nix and a 26 first for Devon Achane, Chase Brown, and Cedric Tillman. I love that you throw in Cedric Tillman. Like, one of the trades, someone threw in Tommy Tremble. Like, what? You had to throw Tommy Tremble in there? Like,
yeah.
So, Bo Nix in a 26 first for Achan, Brown, and Tillman. I saw this offer come through and started cursing.
I want the Bo Nix in first side easily. I'm also not high on, not, I wouldn't say not necessarily high on, but I don't think Achan can stay healthy for full season. I don't think he's ever going to be able to be that guy that we've seen the flashes that those monster weeks. And I do like Chase Brown. But in a super flex, give me the quarterback in the first.
And you said you're not happy with this. I think value wise, it's easily Bo Nix in the 26th.
I agree, which is why I started cursing the second I saw it, because I cut off how many
you people knew you were going to get it.
This was 75-25 for the Bo Nix side.
And I love Achan, but like the difference between Achan and the 26th first is like dwarfed by the difference between Bo Nix and Chase Brown and Cedric Tillman. So
thank you for not forgetting Cedric Tillman in that. I saw you almost trail off, and then you're like, nope, Cedric Tillman. All right, good. The value was absolutely Bo Nix in the 26 first. It's really funny, and I say I don't like that it went through and all of this stuff, but the reason I love outhouse challenges is because it gives me work to do. Like, I now have Kyler, Dak, and Bo Nix on this team. I don't need that, so I'm going to trade one of them away. And I already have offers out to, you know, the second this trade went through, I put Bo Nix on my trade bait.
Giving us more content for when you're not here.
Yeah. So I like Devon Achan. I don't think he should, like I said before, like there should be a second running back. Like, he should not be a workhorse, which they started to use him as a little bit, but it seemed like out of need more than it was out of luxury and out of game plan. Like, once Mostert went down, like, they just didn't really know where it was gone. They didn't really know what to do. And I was hoping, like I said before, Ollie Gordon being there would be able to be good enough at that RB2 spot to spell Achan when he needed. And Chase Brown, I was having a conversation on Blue Sky about Chase Brown's value and how it doesn't necessarily matter how good you think he is. That offense is going to need to score a lot of points, and they didn't bring anybody in. Or Taj Brooks in like the sixth or something like that.
Yeah.
So Chase
Brown was good last year. I mean, he had some good weeks when he got the touches.
He was RB12 in points per game. And that's including the beginning of the season when he was in a full split with Zach Moss. There's a name. So again, like I know that Bo Nix in the first is easily the value here, but I liked what and this is June, so I shouldn't have been doing this anyway, but I liked what my lineup looked like with those two running backs in it.
Did you already set your week one starting lineup?
In my head, I did. I absolutely did. I always go through and I count the 10 people that are... But now, like I said, like I like doing these because now it gives me work to do. Like, I can't get... It takes away the stagnation. Like, it gives me something that I need to trade for now. Okay, this one I'm just legitimately upset about. I hate Tyler to no ends. Tyler is quickly becoming my mortal enemy. In the last, not the last outhouse challenge, but one of the last outhouse challenges, which was in the beginning of the season last year, he got Brian Thomas Jr. for Tank Dell in a second.
Oh my God.
Imagine what that sounds like right now.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. So he takes Brian Thomas Jr. from me at the beginning of the season. And now, I'm just going to tell it, he steals Jaxon Smith-Njigba and gives me Rashee Rice and Aaron Jones.
I will say, I was surprised this went through. I voted in this one, and I voted the JSN side.
Me too.
Yeah, I can't believe that one went through. Do you think he went and got some... Oh, you said this wasn't on Twitter or X, I was going to say. Went and paid for some bots to vote. But I was going to say, yeah, it was not on Twitter.
I mean, it was 160 votes and it was 54% Rice and Jones side. So he was close. Like, this rode 50-50 for a while. but I knew I wasn't winning this one. Like he sends the offer and I DM him. I hate you. I mean, I don't, but I kind of do.
Kind of do. In a loving
way. And then it went through and I'm like, nope, I hate you.
Yeah. Yeah, that sucks.
Look, I get it. And I like Rashi Rice for what he is. Before he got hurt, he looked like he was the dude there.
And peppering him with targets.
And I think he comes back and he's like, I think the Chiefs are, there's a good chance the Chiefs are like, oh, we got crushed in the Super Bowl, so we are going to crush everybody now. Forget waiting to the playoffs. We are just going to put 50 on everyone because they can.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a chance they do that because they are just embarrassed about what happened. And Rashi Rice would be a huge part of that. I just really like Jaxon Smith-Njigba. And that's really all it is. I really like JSN. But I think the value is fair. I think it's a fair trade. And it's one of the rare times where I think Rashi Rice actually got valued fairly in this one. Where Rashi Rice, all I get for my shares of him are real lowball offers.
I just don't think Jones has much value. That's the thing to me. I don't think Jones has much value at all. And JSN is clearly, to me, more value than Rashi Rice. And I get that you could have concerns about JSN specifically this year because Sam Darnold stinks and that whole team kind of stinks. But we saw the talent last year. It actually produced fantasy points and it will again. And Rashi Rice is much more of a question. I mean, I do think that, like Russ said, he got peppered with targets at the beginning of the year before he got hurt. And I do think that's probably going to happen again, even with the healthy, you know, Rice and Worthy and whoever else.
Kelsey, obviously.
Yeah. I still think he's going to be the lead guy, but there's still, to me, more question marks around Rice than there is around JSN.
Yep.
Yeah, you guys said it all. I pretty much agree with everything.
Coolio in Rocky's inbox wanted to talk about this one on a rebuild.
Oh yeah, I wanted to preface this. This is like, I am like full rebuild in TA8, and the reason I thought it was interesting to throw this on here is, well, first of all, another guy I'm a huge stand of is J.K. Dobbins, and to me, it's basically like it's a kind of specific kind of trade that we don't necessarily talk about a lot, but it's basically to me a bet on do I think J.K. Dobbins will be worth a second again at some point. It's basically why I would make this trade, because I would easily give that for a second. I don't need J.K. Dobbins on this team because it stinks. But and I'm not competing this year, and I don't expect J.K. Dobbins to have a lot of long-term value. But and I'm also a little more bullish, I think, on J.K. Dobbins on the Broncos maybe than you two might be. I don't know, but, or a lot of people are. I'm curious what your thoughts are on that in general, but also on this trade.
You can go first, Jay. Or do you want to think? I can go. Do you want me to go?
No, I'm good. I was
building
the old noggin. Building up the tongue. Exactly. You know, the suspense. I'm kind of torn here because I'm not in on J.K. Dobbins. He really his early season production was really, especially his yards per carry, were elevated by some long runs that they weren't there the whole season. And you could see that it sucks because I think he's a great guy. And he was, when he was healthy, he looked like he could be that dynasty top 10 running back for years to come. But I don't want Dobbins, but I feel like you can get more than, I feel like he's worth holding on to. I think at some point you can get a second. I think the 26.
Well, no, that's why I was asking. I would be trading for Dobbins on a crappy team that's rebuilding and giving my.
Okay, then yeah, and I would do that. I took it the opposite way. Yeah, I would make that move then. I think it's the 27 fourth. I mean, that's nothing. It's even the 26 third. I mean, it's just a dart throw. I would rather take the shot on Dobbins value going up and being able to flip him for a second, or, you know, maybe a young running back that, you know, somebody needs a starter, you know, get that second year guy that hasn't really hit yet that you could take a shot on.
And that's what I was thinking, why I wanted to ask you two about this. Russ?
Yeah. And it really comes down to if J.K. Dobbins gets on the field and does okay, you can probably get a third for him again later. If J.K. Dobbins gets on the field and does well, you can probably get a second for him. especially if, sorry, RJ Harvey doesn't really pan out. Sorry, I said it fast, so it doesn't really go into the so it's not it didn't really happen. So why not take that bet? Because that's what you need in rebuild. You need ceiling. You need the ability for things to go up in value. That third is never going to be worth a second. J.K. Dobbins might be worth a second. Is it likely? But it's worth, definitely worth a shot. Like, there's no one in Denver who needs to be supplanted. Like, it's for right now, all we know, J.K. Dobbins is the guy there.
They did spend $5 million on him after drafting R.J. Harvey, too.
Yeah, funny money. I don't really know. But yeah, no, I think that's a good... I think that's fun. I like it. I would do it.
It's accepted. Nice. By the way, take a wild guess. You sent that trade, Russ, for a third and a fourth.
Oh.
In TA.
My nemesis.
Yes.
It was Tyler.
Yes, it was Tyler.
So as I shake.
So he'll be very happy. He just got another third and a fourth.
And then he has too many that he can't draft them all.
Yeah. In this year's draft, he had like 10 picks in a row from the third to the fourth, didn't he? Something like that, Russ?
Yeah, like something crazy like that. And he J Mike Invitational the third and fourth.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
And he's trying to trade them, and like no one wants them. He's like, I'll trade these picks. And they're like, no, you won't. All right, let's move on to Trade Addicts 9. Chase Brown, Zamir White, and Grant Calcaterra, because sure.
You gotta have him.
You gotta. For Travis Etienne and Dalton Kincaid. One more time. Chase Brown, Zamir White, and Grant Calcaterra for Travis Etienne and Dalton Kincaid. Just give me Chase Brown and I don't want to deal with the rest of it.
That's really, yeah, that's pretty much it. I hate it for Zamir White. He's actually from North Carolina, like two towns over. He's a really good down-to-earth kid. I wish he would I feel so old calling him a kid, but I am, so I wish he would have said, yes, I'm like closing in on 40, so.
Closing in on 40.
Yeah, I'm closing in on 50, Jay, so.
I'm
with Roman, you guys. I think this is a whole bunch of like stuff I don't really like. So I'm not even a big Chase Brown guy, but he's the best player in the deal. And Etienne, I have no hope like for in general. And Kincaid is what he is. Like, I don't think he's ever elevating to top tier tight end or anything like that. So
he's Irv Smith is basically who Dalton Kincaid is.
So, yeah, give me the best player in the deal, which, crazily enough, in this trade is Chase Brown.
All right, and let's get to our last trade of the day for Trade Addicts 10. I lost a Caleb Williams share. I'm so sad about this. Like, I'm not...
God, this one's weird to me. Oh, it was really close, though.
And I already gave away which side, but that's fine. Caleb Williams... and Jack Besh for J.J. McCarthy, Keon Coleman, and a 26th second. Since I already gave it away, I'll just say 92 votes and 52%. It was 52-48 was the J.J. McCarthy side.
Before Jay says, this is wild to me. So you're basically saying that you just need to add Keon Coleman to J.J. McCarthy to get to Caleb Williams. Because Jack Besh is a second. That's wild to me.
Like, that's exactly what I said to in the Discord after it went through. And I'm like, this means people have J.J. McCarthy and Caleb Williams real close to each other.
I think that's more Caleb hate than people actually liking J.J. McCarthy.
I don't know. The hype was there from that one start McCarthy last year. I had him in one league. I wound up trading him because I just kept getting hounded and hounded and hounded for him.
That was really good preseason game.
Yeah, let me see what that deal was. It was recently. I wound up getting Justin Fields, which I was happy about. I think it was like Justin Fields and a first and maybe something else. Let me see if I could find that. It's in a Matt Damon league that I'm in with Joey, our friend Joey Wright. Actually, like it's half of the league is the cast of Wicked, the actual cast of Wicked on Broadway, Joey's friends with, who I've now become friends with in this league.
That's pretty cool.
Let me see what it was. Where is my friend Justin Fields? Oh, I forgot you can't see the trades on desktop. You need to work on that Sleeper. Work on your desktop product. I know.
Yeah, won't. That's why we hate Sleeper.
Because we're old and we use the computer all day.
Yeah, so it was, I traded McCarthy in a 2027 second for Justin Fields and a first this year, which that first turned into Tet.
Oh, so it was an early first.
Tet McMillan.
Yeah. I like that.
Oh, well, yeah, so I was very happy with that. Yeah, capitalized. And that's the one that, like, you know, we were talking earlier about not cashing. You know, when do you cash in on the hype and stuff like that? Like, I feel like that was, how much higher is his trade value going to get than that? Like, you know, so like it's buying all the risk for JJ. So,
yeah, it was beyond me that this, like, I legitimately was shocked this one went through. I was shocked this one was close. I really just thought that Caleb would just take this, but he didn't.
And I'm sorry, I didn't vote in this one for you, Russ.
Virtual
me and one or two other votes might have made the difference.
I was about to say, I want to find out what 2% of 92 votes is to see what how many votes I lost by. Okay, so that's all the trades we have, but that's not the end of the show sheet because I grabbed two trades because I really quick want to talk about Jamar Chase for CJ Stroud, Xavier Worthy, and the aforementioned Tommy Tremble. Because you have to throw Tommy Tremble in a trade like this.
I mean, I came in the Tommy Tremble side easily.
So, Tommy Tremble side.
Jamar Chase for CJ Stroud, Xavier Worthy, and Tommy Tremble. I did not expect this to be 92% for Chase. I was a little worried this was going to be close, but are we this low on Stroud that a quarterback on one side and no quarterback on the other gets destroyed?
And a pretty solid wide receiver with him, too.
Xavier Worthy, I think people are still super iffy on. And yeah, Roman in the chat saying, what, Chase all day? Yeah, and I agree with you. Chase should have won this. But I still don't think by like by 85%.
I think it's just him. I mean, basically, think if it's him or Justin Jefferson, you're going to get that type of response. Other than that, I think it's going to be close. I think it's that's the reason it's so high, because obviously nobody's a sure thing, but those two guys are as close to a sure thing in Dynasty as there is.
Yeah.
I mean,
plus so, the recency anti-bias or whatever with Stroud is like, he was very, very mediocre in terms of fantasy last year.
And that should also be yet another warning sign for taking these rookie quarterbacks and moving them up to QB 2 or 3. Jaden Daniels, it's at least a little safer because he has his legs,
yes, which
Stroud doesn't. But, yeah, just volcanoing these players up to top of the rankings just because they have a good rookie year is a little scary, because we did that with Stroud. He was QB 3 at one point. QB 1 on key trade cut at one point, I think, too. Hold on, Roman in the chat saying, Worthy is going to have single-digit games at times, and I think that's what scares people. I think that's very true. For making him a higher wide receiver value, Stroud can change people's minds, but in Ohio State, but is an Ohio State quarterback. Yeah, I'm not surprised Chase won. I'm surprised by how much he won.
Yeah.
Well, we know Tommy Tremble definitely accounted for, what, 3%?
Yeah, he definitely at least three of that 7.9% was easily Tommy Tremble. This next one, I'm surprised at this next one. Joe Burrow and Saquon Barkley for Caleb Williams, Ladd McConkey, and a 27 first.
I saw this, and this was to me Burrow and Saquon easily.
I thought I saw this, and I'm like, I just lost another Caleb share. But Caleb's side won 63.8% to 36.2 out of 105 votes.
I was shocked at how much the difference was. I'm not totally shocked that side won, but by almost 30% is insane to me.
Like, I kind of
I kind of want to
like counter this one later. Like tomorrow, I think I'm countering this trade.
I want the Caleb and Ladd side. I'm with you guys. I definitely would have expected it to be closer, but for me, like Caleb and Burrow is pretty much a push. So I'm looking at a Saquon for Ladd and a 27 first. And
Caleb. Yeah, me too.
Okay.
I don't know that Caleb and Ladd is enough for Burrow for me.
Okay.
But I think it's a push. I'm also not as high on Ladd as some people.
I gotcha. So yeah, it's just, I want the Caleb side. I think the thing is Saquon, all the touches last year, obviously he's got at least probably another year, maybe two, of being that top three, top five guy if he's able to stay healthy. But there are concerns with the workload that he got over, 500 touches, I think, last year between the regular season and the playoffs. You know, people like myself like to get out a year early versus a year late. And you got Ladd, who should be a contributor for a while, plus that 27 first. I get it.
What if I took the 27 first out, and if I countered Caleb and Ladd for Burrow and Saquon?
I'd give me the Burrow and Saquon side.
If you take away the first, do you think that shifts it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I agree with on point screen season that I'm worried about Saquon this coming year in terms of health and all that stuff because of all the touches. Or even if he stays healthy, I expect his usage to go down. But even still, I feel like he's worth a first plus at right now. I think we had Ryan McDowell. I know we had Ryan McDowell, but I think he said a couple weeks ago that he was saying in some places he's seen two firsts for Saquon, which to me is a little much. But he's definitely worth a first plus. And to me, Burrow's worth more than Caleb Ladd. So just based on value, I just feel like, to me, I want the Burrow Saquon side.
I wouldn't have been sad if this one went through. I'd have been sad that I lost my first. I would have been sad that I lost my only Ladd McConkey share. But I can't be sad having Burrow and Saquon on my team. Like, I don't know if I don't think my team is ready to win necessarily. So, like, I would have to make some changes to that team if I ended up with Saquon on it. But yeah, that was a fun one. I really liked that trade. That got things pumping. I was excited for it. But that is the end of our show sheet. So that will be the end of our show. Thank you, Jay, so much for coming on.
Of course.
I had a blast. I hope you had a blast.
Always.
Why don't you remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where they could find what you do?
Sure. I am Jay Felicio. I have a belly button. I am G-Man Jay on Twitter and Blue Sky. And just recently announced the lead analyst for QB List starting. We've got some big plans, and we're going to start dropping some serious content come July. Actually, speaking of the Scott Fish Bowl, don't tell anybody this, but I think we are going to start my first article with QB List is probably going to drop on July 7th, the same day as the slow drafts for Scott Fish Bowl. So it's kind of, you know, the unofficial official start of the fantasy season. So I was like, you know what? Why not coincide with that?
Two things before we finish up with our stuff. One, thank you, Russ, for coming on and not making me host. And two, I feel like Frank will be upset if we don't answer his question about your perfect hot dog.
Oh, I totally forgot about that. Yeah, because he was the only one that answered it. So there's this place.
Easy, I got mine.
What?
Oh, I didn't even think of that. How did I not think of that? Go, Russ.
There's this place in Canton called Milestone, which is a board game bar where you go in and it's a bar and the walls are covered in board games for you to take out and play. But they serve hot dogs, like gourmet hot dogs, and everything on that menu is my perfect hot dog, which I look forward to bringing Frank because he's going to the expo. We're definitely taking him.
Definitely. Well, they have like a peanut butter and jelly one, right?
Butter and jelly and honey. Yeah, I get that's the one I get every single time. Regardless, I'll get two hot dogs, and one of them will always be the PBJ and honey, always. And then the other one they have Mexican street corn, which is
Didn't they have a Reuben one, or am I misremembering?
Bourbon?
Is that what you said? Reuben.
Reuben. Oh, man. No, because I would have eaten the hell out of that if I saw that.
Maybe it was somewhere else that had that.
Oh, man, that sounds great. I'm trying to think of what else they have. They had a kimchi dog that Zach Reed liked.
The pizza dog was really good. I had that one, too. It's tomato, basil, pepperoni, mozzarella, a little Italian seasoning. Doctor, the guy with the last name Felicio likes pizza dog.
Before Jay gives his answer, I should give mine because mine's boring. I said, Frank, you don't think I'm going to have a good answer to this question to you. So I just like mine nice. I like it on the grill. I like it nice and black and charred. I love the char. And just give me some spicy mustard and I'm good to go. I've never been to Milestone, though. I actually would try a PB&J hot dog.
Oh, okay. I'll text you when we go. It'll be multiple times, so it'll be okay.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Because that's like the one place that's open in Canton after like after 11 p.m. Yeah, 5 p.m. more likely. But yeah. And I'm pretty basic too when it comes to hot dogs, Rocky. I'm with you a little more. Throw ketchup and mustard on there, but I have to have sauerkraut as well. And it's either if we're like just doing it for dinner at the house, we'll boil some water and do them that way. But I'm with you. If they're on the grill, you know, I want them burnt. And that's the burnt. That. It just makes it. It does. Sometimes I'll get a little crazy and throw some jalapeno on there as well.
But. Ooh, yes.
We even have a Foreman grill at home, and I always make my hot dogs on there just so I can get the burn.
Absolutely.
Love it. All right, so now our stuff. Oh, man. Patreon.com/TradeAddictsPod. You could hang out with us while we record. Like we had
my apologies. I did not do until 17 minutes into this episode.
Whoopsies. Is that why that's why we had zero people watching in the beginning.
Yeah, at the beginning.
But yeah, hang out with us while we record. You could see the Baymax shirt I'm wearing instead of my beautiful description of it before. We also have the also mentioned Discord chat, the Cool Kids Club. What else do we have? Just fantasy care stuff.
I think that's basically it.
Man, I've been out of the game for too long. Go check out Fantasy Cares right now. We just gave away a Switch 2, which was so adrenaline inducing. Giving it away made me anxious. Like I was my heart was pounding. But yeah, we have right now, I think the only thing we really have running right now is our end of summer giveaway, which is going to be huge. We are going to give away like 20, 30, 40 prizes. Depends how many people sign up. Go to fantasycares.org/campaigns, and you can see what we have running right now. The end of summer giveaway is literally, that's all it is. We are going to put all these prizes, Funkos, signed jerseys, signed footballs, gift cards to the shop we have. So all the designers have done such good work on these logos. If you haven't checked out shopfantasycares.com or fantasycares.org/shop, you really, really should. The logos that they did for the four major sports and beyond are just so disgustingly good. And all of the money goes to Fantasy Cares, and we could do good things with that. So please do that. Hold on, let me scroll to the bottom here and see what else Frank wrote. Merch, race days, and end of summer giveaway. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Race days on Fridays, we try and give away some spots into SFB. So if you're not in SFB yet, check out the race days, which is usually around noon on Friday. We'll give away a spot or two to the watchers of the show if there's enough people. That
make sure you're signed up too. Pro tip.
Fishbowl.com. You cannot get in unless you're signed up. That's a very good point, which we have people who have won races who did not get in because they were not signed up. Yeah, that happens. All right, well, that is it, I think, because I'm ready for bed, which means that it must be the end of the show. So good night, everybody.
Good night, Russ.
Good night.
I miss Rocky saying good night to me.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts and a proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FS Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy Pants. That is the best. See ya.